Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Owen Jones, sounding a bit like Mrs. Doubtfire there, and this is the Cheerful Election Daily, navigating our way through the sheer unadulterated joy of the 2019 general election. And I'm again joined by my friend Ellie Mary O'Hagan, because I just can't keep away from her.
Or maybe I can't keep away from you.
Well,
You didn't see the gesture there where Owen like beckoned me closer to the microphone.
Yeah, I was trying
to get close.
Very alluring person in so many ways. Right, so what have we just done, Ellie?
We've just watched the debate.
We did watch the debate with a big mob of people.
We did.
Hunched over laptops, assessing what was going on. So let's do some analysis.
Let's
do it. Okay, come on, initial thoughts.
I feel quite pleased with how it went, because I think viewers will have come away feeling pleasantly surprised by Jeremy Corbyn and disappointed by Boris Johnson. And that's because of the same phenomenon that we had in 2017, which is the press raining down sulfur on Jeremy Corbyn and praising the Tory leader as being a brilliant politician. And actually, the reality does not bear that out. But I also think that most people will feel quite underwhelmed by both leaders. And I think that there were lots of things that Jeremy Corbyn did really well. I thought him challenging Boris Johnson on the NHS was really valuable and really important. I thought his answer to the anti-Semitism question was quite straightforward and robust. But I would have liked to have seen him go on the attack a bit more. I was quite disappointed with his climate change answer, because that's such a strong point for Labour. And he was talking about poorer communities in other countries and the sort of effects of our natural world. And whereas I thought he could have talked about the flooding in Yorkshire that we've just had, relate it more strongly to, you know, people's lives in this country, because it is happening to people in this country.
Yeah, so I think, we'll say strengths and weaknesses. And I think... So I think overall I would hand him a win. The YouGov polling afterwards, by the way, basically has the audience, what they thought, who won and who lost. And it is effectively a score draw. So 51% hand it to Boris Johnson. If it had been 52, that would have been the real banter result. 52-48. It was 51-49, which is within the polling margin of error. So the polling margin of error is give a few points either side. I mean, it's effectively a draw. Now, given Jeremy Corbyn is the underdog, and given his personal ratings are very bad, Boris Johnson's are bad, his are worse. So he's behind in the polling. He suffered a 4.5 year relentless press battery. So a draw, if judged by the public, is a win. And some Tory journalists say that Tories will be privately nervous about that, because the whole point of Boris Johnson is his shtick was supercharged charisma, who was going to smash Jeremy Corbyn in the debate, and no one could really think that. So the reason I thought he won was, firstly, the Brexit bit should have just been a walkover in theory for Boris Johnson. It's his strongest suit. It's his whole...
It's his only suit.
It's literally, that's his shtick. You know, Brexit, 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 get Brexit done. And remember when it started to come unstuck for Theresa May, when strong and stable became something people laughed at? And get Brexit done met genuine laughter in the audience of a similar sort. And where Jeremy Corbyn was strong there was this lie, which drives me to total distraction, which is the idea that leaving with a divorce agreement, a withdrawal agreement on the 31st of January means that's Brexit sorted. That's the easy bit. The difficult bit is the future relationship and all the trade negotiations. So Jeremy Corbyn said that would take 7 years. And I also thought it was a real moment of drama, like TV drama, when he unleashed this document, this redacted document regarding meetings between British civil servants, this was exposed by Channel 4 dispatches, and the Trump administration about a trade deal with the possibility of the NHS on the table. And Boris Johnson kind of, he was so flustered, and I mean, he was kind of aggressive and hectoring all the way through. But Labour really, really have to hammer away at that. It's a really, really important point. The other bit I thought was a zinger, a real genuine zinger, was when Johnson kept scaremongering a la David Cameron and May about basically a coalition of chaos. He can't reuse that because it's too obvious. So he said a chaotic coalition. And Jeremy Corbyn says,
People's Front of Judea and the Judeans. Yeah,
but he said, we've had 9 years of chaotic coalitions already. And the audience were basically like, drop mic. Also, when Johnson was asked, does the truth matter in this election? He said, yes, I think it does. And the audience just wet themselves at that point. So that's where I thought it was good. The problems, I think. Oh, the other thing is, we kept going on about Jeremy not being grouchy, and he wasn't. He was zen cheerful.
He was all right. I thought he got a little bit grouchy at some points, but generally speaking, I thought he was okay. And Jeremy Corbyn's team, if you listen to this, can you just make sure his glasses are straight?
Yeah, that was quite irritating. The wonky glasses. Yeah, someone sort that out because it was a bit distracting. I thought, yeah, I mean, there was no knockout blows, but I think
on either side, though,
and that's what I mean. I mean, there was absolutely no way. I think the quite aggressive bluster from Boris Johnson is very, very unattractive. To his core supporters, they'll like it. They'll be like, that's why they like the guy. But I think to people in the middle, they just find it a bit kind of ranting, rambling, bumbling.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk in too much like broad strokes about women, but you know, speaking as a woman, I felt the kind of annoyance of the host when she kept being like, okay, Mr. Johnson, because I think most women have experienced a sort of cocksure man dominating conversation in the way that Boris Johnson was trying to dominate the debate and then not listening when you're sort of saying, all right, can you kind of quieten down, please? And I think possibly that will put off women voters a bit because it was just so kind of boorish. And I also think, again, you know, his Boris Johnson is massively overhyped as a politician because he's a very entitled person who has never really had to try very hard for anything. And when entitled people like that are put under scrutiny, they do tend to fall apart because they don't like it because it's not really part of their experience. So I think he didn't do very well. And I think, like you say, because Jeremy Corbyn's personal ratings are pretty bad, it really was only ever going to be a good thing for him to do this debate because, like I said before, people would be pleasantly surprised.
It was frustrating because the other thing about Boris Johnson is he's a liar. He's been sacked twice for lying. He lies routinely. Peter Oborne, who's a conservative journalist, has set up a website dedicating to exposing all his various lies. And one came in this debate when he said Labour will hike the corporation tax to the highest level in Europe, which is literally just bullshit. France and Germany, amongst other countries, have higher corporation tax than what Labour are suggesting. Labour just saying basically go back to what it was at the beginning of the coalition. Not good enough, actually. I think they should be higher. I think they should look at Germany.
I wish it was the highest in Europe.
But I think where I got frustrated, I think some blows could have been landed. So I think it was on anti-Semitism, you're right. I think that was one of the best answers I've seen him give. Because sometimes I just thought there just needs to be more emotional intelligence about, you know, look, Jewish people have suffered, and this Jeremy Corbyn spoke about this. When he said, I've talked about the attempted extermination of the Jewish population of Europe, that was really, I think, it showed the empathy that I don't think has always been shown. I think that's been part of the problem, just to kind of look Jewish people in the eyes and just, because there's that, you know, anyone who knows Jewish people knows is that sense of almost a collective trauma and that sense of things could suddenly turn at any moment. And that's what's happened to Jews throughout their history. And he did that. But what I think was frustrating was, and this is maybe why it didn't happen, and which is, And the fact that ITV didn't ask about it is, I think, outrageous, about rampant Tory Islamophobia, including the Prime Minister himself comparing Muslim women to bank robbers and letterboxes, but numerous, multiple cases rampant throughout the party, the failure to deal with it. The media just don't care about Islamophobia, let's be honest. They fan it. But, I mean, Jeremy Corbyn could have gone on the attack on that, even though ITV didn't. I suppose the danger is, which some might even think what I'm doing now, people go, oh, that's whataboutery. But it is extremely frustrating that there's not that scrutiny. And Jeremy Corbyn didn't land a blow on the racism that's just defined so much of the Tory party.
To be honest, I'm not actually sure that the media cares that much about anti-Semitism, given the headlines that were written about Ed Miliband when he was the leader of the Labour Party. Nevertheless, I think one of the interesting bits about that section of the debate was that Boris Johnson was asked about his trustworthiness and he just dodged the question completely. He couldn't answer it at all. And I think that was actually one of the points where I was disappointed with Jeremy Corbyn, because I felt that he could have pushed on that and he could have said exactly the things that you've just mentioned, sacked twice for lying, all of the things that Boris Johnson has done over the years that demonstrate his dishonesty and his lack of trustworthiness. And I don't feel that Jeremy Corbyn took the opportunity. He also didn't mention, he talked about the US healthcare, but he didn't talk about Donald Trump, particularly because Donald Trump's now visiting the UK during the course of the election campaign. And I thought he could have set that up quite nicely. Mm-hmm. I think generally speaking, I would have liked to have seen him be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more pithy with his attacks, because
Like the other one on, that could have been nailed was Boris Johnson made it a do or die, die in a ditch pledge to leave on the 31st of October.
Yeah.
He didn't go for that.
Yeah.
I would have gone for that.
Yeah. And I know that I've already mentioned this, but I do feel quite disappointed with the climate change answer, just because that has become as much of a bread and butter issue for Labour as the NHS and now climate change is the central pillar of their manifesto. Mm-hmm. And I felt that he could have talked about it in much more concrete terms. I mean, they're pledging, 400,000 green jobs?
Yeah.
And he could have talked about that and he didn't. And
I think that's the
thing. That was a missed opportunity.
Because that's how with the climate emergency, I think Labour should come out really swinging. Green New Deal, we're going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs, we're going to transform your standard of living, we're going to do, in terms of renewable energy revolution, we're going to insulate all your homes. I think that is something definitely that wasn't there enough and could have been. What I thought was a really good answer was on the NHS, not least. It's really important often, because I worry sometimes with the NHS it gets bogged down in the stats rather than lived experience. So talking,
the story was very moving about his friend.
Yeah, his friend who, and if anyone's seen the video, it's worth looking at. It's on, Jeremy Corbyn's tweeted it. This woman had died of terminal breast cancer. I think those sorts of examples humanise, don't they? They bring some humanity into it. And on austerity as one cuts, that's his big passion, obviously. Not inflicting it, obviously. That'd be
really, cut some more.
Wouldn't have been helpful, that. but the fact that he's, he talked about that. And also, kind of that whole, he did that little mini, very Jeremy Corbyn-y speech about listening to people and his style of leadership. That worked. So, I think overall that he won it because he was, Boris Johnson was blustering, aggressive, didn't answer any questions, just kept trying to deflect onto Jeremy Corbyn. The Brexit, and I think Jeremy Corbyn came across with compassion and all the rest of it. On the Brexit thing, though, he did have some zingers and had Boris Johnson flustered about what's supposed to be his really strong point. I think Labour's position on Brexit, because what Labour pollsters Tory pollsters have obviously zoned in as a weakness is he won't say which side he'll campaign on in a referendum. And the key thing, obviously, what he has to do, Jeremy Corbyn, at the moment, is tell people who've gone to the Lib Dems, who are the polling shows Remainers coming back, but to say the only way you're going to have a way back, the only way of Remain is a Labour referendum with Remain on the ballot. But I think he could have gone, even though he talks about unifying Remainers and Leavers, which is good, I think he could have done more. We've had enough of divisive prime ministers who've tried to set people against each other, and I want to be a unifier.
Yeah, I felt that as well. I just thought, to me, the answer was obvious about why he's planning on staying neutral in a referendum. I think he could have just said to Boris Johnson, you only want to govern half the country. Yeah. I want to govern the whole country.
Yeah, you're right.
So whatever the result is, I will need to implement it. And so I'm not going to pick a side.
I'll be the servant of the people.
Yeah. And I don't, and that seemed like the obvious answer to me. And I don't know why he didn't say it. And so.
Because they'll keep going. They've definitely zoned in on that as a big thing they want to keep going on about.
Yeah. And that's the answer. I want to govern the whole country, not just half of it.
I think you're right. I think that's.
And it's not even that he just wants to govern half of it. He wants to govern just like the most hardcore levers, you know.
Yeah.
Like a quarter of it, you know. We know that a lot of people who voted Leave are not like, they're not going to die in a ditch themselves over Brexit.
Agreed, yeah.
So he's actually wanting to govern for kind of 25-30% mm-hmm. of British voters. And so to me, the obvious riposte to that is that Labour will govern for 100% of voters, 100% of people living in Britain.
Exactly. I think that's a better way of doing it. I mean, I suppose I wonder how much it cuts. Well, in terms of cutting through, I suppose the danger is, or we'll say it's weak, but the key problem Labour have, or one of the key problems, is still people who voted Remain not sure about coming back to Labour. And I think even now, some of them would be like, well, that's silly, he should campaign for Remain. But then a lot of them would go, I don't really give a toss. As long as I get a chance to vote for Remain, I don't really care what he does.
I spoke to a friend of mine who, after the debate, and she's political, and in fact, I met her through activism, so she's pretty political, but she's not really engaged in politics in a very dedicated way anymore. But she watched it, which is really unusual for her because she hates politics these days. And her takeaway was, although she was underwhelmed in general, she felt that Boris Johnson had a lot less substance to him than Corbyn. And I think that's what I would say as well, is that he really didn't have anything to offer. The only thing that he really had to say was that he will take us out of the EU, and like and could only attack Jeremy Corbyn on those grounds, really.
And that's all he kept going on about. Whatever the question, he kept just going back to that.
And it was, and it was a bit embarrassing. And I think it's a big gamble that they're taking, that British voters will prize that above everything else. And I think, there is a danger for them that maybe if people don't care about Brexit as much as he thinks they do. And I wouldn't want to speculate about whether they do or not. I don't feel like I have enough information to do that. But that is the gamble, because that is clearly all they have. I think that's what's clear from tonight.
Yeah, totally. I think that is hopefully why, given we know that Boris Johnson has a big lead on who you prefer to be prime minister, and yet the first big post-debate poll has them neck and neck about who actually won the debate, that I think what would worry me if I was a Tory advisor, which, by the way, I'm not, just to out myself, would be, I think there will be people who like Jeremy Corbyn more than they did before they watched it, and people who like Boris Johnson less.
Jeremy Corbyn is so vilified, and his personal ratings are so bad compared to Boris Johnson that, you know, if he doesn't shit himself on the stage, people are going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, but I don't think that, in the sense of, that doesn't mean they might go, well, actually, he did better than I expected, but I still think Boris Johnson won. But they haven't done that. 49% of people in that poll have gone, I think Jeremy Corbyn was the best person on that stage. So I think, I mean, that's what's interesting. I think, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the coming days, obviously. Because the big thing that's now going to happen is the manifesto.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're allowed to say when it's coming out. Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, I think it's been said. It's Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Well, maybe we might have just dropped an exclusive then.
I think that's pretty. Okay. I think that's known.
Okay.
So the manifesto is going to come out, and you know that is Labour's big hope, because what happened last time really was it wasn't any. The big turnaround was the manifesto. I think the thing is, what's going to be interesting is, because Jeremy Corbyn started the last election with really terrible polling, and then they improved during the election campaign. And so there are obviously people now who used to like him, who now just don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And they might look at him now, because this is the biggest kind of burst they've seen of Jeremy Corbyn since the last general election campaign. And they might look at that and go, oh, I kind of remember why I liked him. I mean, this shouldn't be about personality. I think hopefully it should be actually people are fed up with 10 years of Tory rule and the consequences, and think, well, actually, I want real change. That's what Labour's slogan is. And they want, you know, they want the rich to pay more tax, to invest in services that are creaking. They want a housing programme. They want young people not to be punished with student debt. You know, they want public ownership. We'll see, but it's the only bloody hope, isn't it?
I've got to say, aside from their performances, I was really pleasantly surprised that ending austerity has become a universal truth in politics now, that both sides, in order to, you know, appear palatable, had to say, yes, I will end austerity. And as somebody who was a very devoted anti-austerity activist for many years, I was really pleased to see that finally the public has turned against that, and finally, in order to be elected, you have to say you're going to end it.
That's the consensus, isn't it?
In
rhetoric, if not substance.
And, you know, credit where it's due, I don't think that would have happened without Jeremy Corbyn becoming leader of the Labour Party. I think they really moved the debate on that. And thank God.
So my conclusion would be that was a victory for Jeremy Corbyn. I think more people will like him afterwards. He landed some good zingers. He had Boris Johnson flustered and angry at certain points. I think Boris Johnson came across badly in terms of just being hectoring and aggressive and rude. And I don't think the format really works that well, to be honest. And
the weird kind of Blade Runner stage. That was weird.
It's quite off-putting. It's quite glaring. But I don't think there was any knockout blows. And I think there could have been more kind of... He could have been more aggressive going after Boris Johnson and the Tory record. He doesn't like this idea of going after a person in certain ways, though. He thinks it's kind of off, you know. But nonetheless, I think overall, that will, I think, buoy Labour. I think it will improve his ratings. And I think in terms of members who at the moment feel they're fighting the fight of their lives, I think it will give them more of a wind in their tail than they had before. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, judging by Corbyn's performance, if you ask me, am I glad that he did it? I would say yes. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good, been good for Labour. I'm glad that he did it. Do I think it's been a game changer? No, I think we've still got a lot to do. We've got a lot of work to do to win this election. I don't think it's been a game changer. But I think it's helped.
Yeah.
And there's going to be other debates. And I think it was laid good groundwork for the next debate.
Because there was no game changer debate. I mean, I know there was no head to head, but Jeremy Corbyn never had one performance where he went, that's a game changer. It just cumulatively helped his ratings.
Yeah. I think there's room for improvement. I think there's the concrete things that he can do that we've talked about to improve his ratings next time. But yeah, I think it was good. And I do think for give or take half of the audience to say, yeah, he won that. I thought he was the better performer, given the state of his ratings and the constant sort of media barrage against him, I think is actually quite remarkable. Yeah, so I'll take that.
4.5 year press barrage.
Yeah.
Okay. Registered to vote. We've now got, oh my word, Monday. This is the biggie. Everyone, you know, run around your community screaming, drag people off bus stops. Don't actually do that. It's probably problematic. But just go up to them at bus stops and just politely ask them. Go around
drag
parks.
Them off. Yeah. That's my bus. Why are you taking me?
Yeah, if you're clubbing on Friday night, go round that at 2 a.m, demanding everyone's registered.
Don't kiss anyone who isn't registered to
vote. If they want to get off with you, stop them and go, have you registered to vote? And if they said no, don't do it.
Yeah. And also, especially if you're like under 30, and even more if you're under 24 or under, you can literally change the course of this country in a really phenomenal and profound way if you're under 25 and you register to vote, because the pollsters all think you're not going to do it. And they are predicting the outcomes of this election, assuming that you're not going to vote. So you could change everything that we understand about politics if you vote. So register to vote and get every single person you know in your age group to vote as well.
And just to emphasise that, so one YouGov poll. YouGov has the worst polling pretty much for Labour almost of any pollster. But it had the Tory lead falling from 17 points to 12 points in 4 days. And in the first poll, which was worse for Labour, only 75% of Labour supporters said they were certain to vote. The second was 81%. The first had 18 to 24-year-olds and 47%. The second of 50%. What that means is, basically, pollsters are calling this election partly on the basis they think younger people are not going to vote in sufficient numbers to get Labour over the line. So Ellie's right. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back. We're going to have some other guests, not just Ellie.
Hey.
But she's great. Don't say she's not great.
They're going to have some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I've got some great people lined up. If you liked this, then please leave a rating, Facebook review, just some lovely stars. Just so it just gets up the charts so other people can watch it. And also, I'm grateful as well. Lots of love, everyone. It's going to be a long few weeks. Just over 3 weeks to go. Oh, my word. But thank you very much, Ellie, you beautiful comrade.
Thank you.
Bye. Election Daily is produced by the Cheerful team, including Jeff Lloyd, Emma Corsham, Joe Kenyon, and Joel Pearce, with music from Pete Frazier.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.